We're continuing to look at the letter of James this day. We've been looking at what James had to tell us about faith and what James had to say to us most especially about how to live the Christian life, a life of active faith. And that life of active faith is not promised to be an easy one. Indeed, the life of active faith, if truly lived following the grace of God, empowered by the grace of God, following the will of God's strength and glory, a life of active faith indeed makes us a target for none other than the powers and forces of darkness, a target for Satan to attack. So when we come into this Christian life, and when we step out in faith, leaning on the promises of God, trusting in His grace, we need to be ready and expecting that there will be opposition. So I want to back up in today's lesson. The appointed lesson was James 4, 1 through 12, but I want to back up into chapter 3 for a bit to give us a little bit of context as we move into chapter 4. James wrote, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." Repeating, James wrote, "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy." You ever watch a family fight? I've watched a bunch of family fights. I've been in part of a bunch of family fights. I think we all have, and we know how difficult it is to recognize that opinions other than our own, attitudes other than our own, interests and desires other than our own, have weight and merit. I mean, I'm reminded of my brother always wanting to have his way in terms of where we would go to eat. Mother would ask Dad, "Where do you want to eat?" Dad always says, "I don't know, where do you want to eat?" And to this day, they go back and forth between each other. You know, "What do you want to eat?" "I don't know." "Well, what do you want to eat?" "I don't know." "What do you want to eat?" "I'll eat what you want to eat." "Well, I'll eat what you want to eat." You know, back and forth. You ever had that problem? Well, if they threw that to us, if they threw that to my brother and I, he and I would have opinions. Pizza Inn. Ponchos. You know, we'd have our own opinions as to what we wanted to eat. We had no problem speaking them. We didn't want to yield either. And there wasn't a little bit of peaceableness or gentleness in the attitude at all. We were opinionated. And we let it be known what we wanted. So much so that Mom and Dad finally quit asking us what we wanted to eat. And I guess figured it out between the two of them. Well, when you have a family fight, and the same is true when you have a fight in the family of God, if both sides are unwilling to follow the guidance of James, you're going to have a knockdown dragout. If both sides are unwilling to follow the advice of James, you're going to have a devilish fight. I'll never forget the fight that went on over my grandfather's estate between one side of the family, our side, and the other side of the family that belonged to my grandmother, my dad's stepmother. It was a fight, friends. And it was devilish. Not graceful, not gentle, not yielding. It was not fun. What does James have to say about fights such as that? About attitudes such as this? About the bitter envy and selfish ambition in our hearts? Where does it come from? It does not come from above. It is earthly. Indeed, it is unspiritual. It is, in fact, he says, devilish. So, fights that come to this standard, this style, this character, are not led from God above. We can disagree without being disagreeable. It is possible for Christians to disagree with each other without being disagreeable. It is possible to hold other opinions and other ideas without being envious and unyielding and unpeaceable. It is indeed possible to have varying points of view and still get along. I think James is arguing in favor of that understanding, that it is possible even for Jewish Christians who believe that it's important to maintain all the rules and regulations of the Jewish faith while also being a Christian, I believe he is saying that it is possible to hold that point of view and still accept as brothers and sisters in Christ those Gentile Christians who were not Jews in addition to being Christians. It is possible to hold differing opinions and even practices and still recognize each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, how do we keep such fights, such disagreements from occurring? Those conflicts, James wrote in chapter 4, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says God yearns jealously for the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us? For He gives all the more grace. Therefore, He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I think the point is Christian families, churches get into fights. Usually it's because both sides refuse to recognize the grace of God present amongst them and in both sides. And what James is saying here is the way to overcome such fights, such disagreements, such arguments, such unpeaceableness and devilishness, the way to overcome that is to draw near to God. Draw near to God, he wrote, and he will draw near to you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That, my friends, is good news. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It doesn't say, and he might draw near to you. It doesn't say, he'll draw near to you when he's ready. It says, resist the devil. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. With God drawing near to us, how can the devil have any victory over us? With God drawing near to us, and with we ourselves submitting ourselves to the will and presence and power and grace of God, how can the devil have any victory over us? My friends, I submit to you that the devil has lost. Let me repeat that. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that the devil has lost. Past tense. But the war ain't over. Oh, yes, it is. We got this battle going on in Iraq, this war. The ground military action ended several months ago. And still, dozens and dozens and dozens of soldiers have been killed in skirmishes and terrorist attacks and battles. And it looks like the war isn't over, and yet the war was essentially declared to be done several months ago. And yet the battles go on. Likewise, my friends, the war against the powers and forces of darkness, the war against Satan, was won on Calvary. When Jesus died for the sins of the world, when Jesus died for your sins, when Jesus died for my sins, when Jesus died for our sins of divisiveness and fighting and backbiting and all the things that we as God's children still happen to do, when Jesus died for our sins, the devil lost. Now, there are still battles to fight in the terrorist activity of the evil one afterwards. There are still battles to fight in the terrorist activity of Satan that goes on after the victory. Nevertheless, the devil has lost. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Where in your life, my friends, in your individual living, do you need to be resisting the devil today? I went to the symphony last night. And in the Meyerson Center, they have a couple of really nice restaurants. One is the Pasta Pavilion. It's one of my favorite places to go and eat. When you walk into the building, you smell the smells of Italian food, pasta, Alfredo's and marinara and chicken, wafting through the building, touching your nose, lifting you up, and carrying you to the table to eat. And it's all you can eat. It is indeed all you can eat. And last night I walked into the building with the firm intention, you know, I even went late, with the firm intention not to eat. And I walked into the building and smelled that pleasing, wonderful aroma. And it was like my feet lifted off the ground. and I started to float up the stairs and into the pavilion and sat down to eat. And I ate. I did not resist the devil last night. I drew near to the table and it drew near to me. I drew near to the pasta and it drew near to me. I gave in to temptation and wallowed in it and loved it. And I will be regretting it the next week. My friends, it is so difficult to resist. The devil has many wonderful ways of sneaking his temptations into our lives. The temptation to eat a half a pound of pasta or three. The temptation to not study your scripture lesson for Sunday school the next day. The temptation to not pray for your family and friends because you'd rather watch a few more minutes of David Letterman. The temptation to not consider the needs and cares and concerns of the brothers and sisters in Christ. The temptation to go to that movie rather than to choir practice. The temptation to wallow in the alternate pleasures that Satan throws our way. Some of them can be very innocent. I mean, come on. Had I taken great care, what I ate last night wouldn't have been so bad. Had it been one-fifth of what I actually ate, it wouldn't have been so bad. It would have tasted just as well. My appetite would have been satiated. I would have been fine instead of uncomfortable sitting in that chair listening to Beethoven's Fourth Symphony last night. My friends, sometimes Satan tempts us with stuff that isn't bad on its own. But when wallowed in and indulged in, it becomes a temptation to sin. Where in your life today is Satan trying to draw you away from submission to God? Where in your life today is the devil trying to work his way into your spirit? Trying to work his way into your life. The victory is already won, my friends. Jesus won it on Calvary almost 2,000 years ago when he died for our sins. But the devil is still launching terrorist attacks. And my friends, sometimes he hits really close to home. My friends, where in your life today, do you need to draw near to God? I want to give you some homework. Some homework from church. That's good. Remember homework? Here's some homework. During this coming week, I want to challenge you to lay before God by taking out a piece of paper and writing on it those places in your life where the devil is trying to draw you away, tempt you away, entice you away from the will of God. Where in your life are temptations mounting? Where in your life do you need the strength and power and grace of God? Where in your life do you find the temptations that the devil throws at you becoming too powerful for you yourself? Where are you feeling the temptations winning? Where are the terrorist strikes of the devil hitting home? I challenge you, take out a piece of paper this week and begin to write down those areas in your life, those things, those elements, those temptations, those desires, those areas in your life where the temptations of the devil have begun to grasp at you and where you have begun to stumble. They don't have to be big ones. They can be little. All it takes is just a little bit to get it going. That was one of the things that they said to us about glaciers in Alaska. Was all it took was one little fissure to develop, one little crack in the glacier for water to seep into through the frozen ice on either side. And one little crack can cleave thousands of tons of ice away from a wall, the wall of a glacier, in minutes. Where are the little cracks developing in your spiritual life? Where are the little cracks where Satan can get his little hand in? Where are the cracks developing in your spiritual life today? Write them on a piece of paper. That's your homework. Write them on a piece of paper. And I encourage you next Sunday, World Communion Sunday, to bring that piece of paper. And when you come to receive Holy Communion, leave it here. I will collect them, and we will burn them sometime after church. My friends, bring those temptations to the Lord. If you're uncomfortable doing that, do it. Take it and burn it yourself. Submit it to God. Allow God to take that temptation from you. Allow the victory on Calvary 2,000 years ago to impact you today in the midst of Satan's terrorist attacks. Allow God to draw you back to Him. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we proclaim that the victory won over 2,000 years ago can be a victory won today in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our homes, in the lives of this congregation, this church, and this city, this state, and this country. We can proclaim victory in Jesus. The devil has lost the battle. He's lost the war. Let him, let Jesus, let God overcome the powers and forces of darkness in your life today. Submit them to God and allow him to draw you near to him. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.